Welcome back to our final segment of the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Albert Morales, and today's conversation is with Ellen Embry, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. Also with us today from IBM is Terry Ergens. Ellen, I understand that the TRICARE management activity is in the acquisition process for the third generation of TRICARE healthcare contracts, otherwise known as T3. Can you share with us how these contracts are expected to impact customer satisfaction, quality health care, and the value for the beneficiaries?
Sure, I'll try. Mm-hmm. The new contracts were specifically designed to help deliver high-quality, affordable health care for our nation's heroes and their families, as well as active and retired individuals. Financial incentives have been added to already existing incentives that will continue to pay for performance, both in the outcomes as well as in the delivery of care. We also will be requiring that our contractors focus on improved preventive care and to increase the quality of the outcomes that they deliver through that care. Financial incentives have also applied to reduce and to identify fraud, waste, and abuse. And we've increased the requirement for electronic claims processing, which should also reduce costs. We've also identified customer support activities and hope to realize some cost savings by combining capability. The basic contract structure remains the same, and there will be three regions and three benefit options. We understand that we have a role in the president's national health care reform, and we're actively engaged with them to determine if there will be any appropriate adjustments based on that. But our contract management and quality of health care remains a high priority for us.
Ellen, in the fall of 2008, the Tiger Team was assembled to analyze the current military patient perception and quality and accessibility of primary care services within the military health systems are unsatisfactory. Can you tell us about the team's recommendation around the patient-centered medical home project?
Yes, despite the superb care that we believe we are providing for, to the wounded on the battlefield and in our hospitals, and despite the fact that we have a medical benefit and health plan that is considered one of the most generous and comprehensive that this country offers, there definitely were indications that military beneficiaries perceived that their care not to be on par with their civilian counterparts. The team recommended shifting to a patient-centered medical home model. And what that means is the patient would have a primary care team that they would consistently see for all of their medical needs. Patients who receive care in this model would have continuous access to a personal physician who provides comprehensive and coordinated care for the large majority of their health care needs. And this is a model that has proven quite successful in the private sector, and we are aggressively pursuing this model across our system. I guess really that's, you know, keeping focused on patient-centered care is where we're headed, and we're committed to doing that.
Now, your website, health.mil, has a wealth of information. Are you looking to also leverage some of the new social networking ideas and technologies such as blogs and wikis? Are these even valuable to the service members and their families?
Well, I hope they are. We certainly believe that because we have such a young population that we need to be consistently pursuing ways in which to reach them in ways that are useful to them. And certainly using blogs and wikis and having interactive capabilities and providing them with widgets and tools that would help them take responsibility for their health is certainly the wave of our future. And we are committed to doing that. And health.mil is the first of a long series of initiatives to do just that. I have to give my predecessor, Dr. Ward Cassell's, great credit for this because he brought to the department a sense of urgency that, you know, we may do a lot of wonderful things inside the doctor policy program developer community, but if no one knows about it, then it doesn't really matter.
That's right.
So this has been a high priority for us.
Great. As you lead MHS during this period of transition, what insights would you offer to those who will take DoD health affairs into the future, and how can your successors build on the foundations laid before them?
Very good question. I think that whoever comes in behind me, which is just a temporary job right now, has the challenge of national health reform before them. And I believe the individual who will be in the Department of Defense dealing with the most globally reaching health system in the country will have to balance the need to support the warfighter, to enhance our global position from a military and a strategic perspective, with the needs of the nation in terms of reforming healthcare, reducing costs, improving care delivery. And I think the challenge will be, how do we do that in a way that keeps the patient in mind? And I believe the tenets of health reform on prevention and performance and evidence base are already ongoing and enduring principles of our current system. So that won't be a problem. The challenge will be, how do we integrate what we are doing into the national health program? Because we are, we base our the cost to the private sector based on, CMS. And so we are very much integrated into, in terms of cost basis, that program. And so it's important for making sure that we don't have unintended relationships with our current system that would affect our ability to perform overseas. I think another thing that the person who fills this seat will need to be concerned about is how we capture and share electronic health records, both from a personal perspective, from a patient point of view, but also how our private sector, even just physicians that are in business for themselves, how do we collect electronic records and share that information so that we can easily assure continuity of care? Right now, we have a fair number of physicians who deliver care to our beneficiaries that do not provide us the results of that encounter electronically. And so even though we have a fairly robust electronic health system record, we receive many encounters on paper from the providers who do partnership with us. So this is going to be an important thing for them to focus on, having one set of records that's common across the entire nation. I think that'll be a big challenge.
Sure, it certainly is, and it's certainly one of the bigger challenges in the private sector these days. Ellen, you alluded to getting started in government, I believe, in 1975. Given your long career with the government and your successful career with the government, what advice would you give to a person who's out there perhaps considering a career in public service?
I think that a person who's considering a career in public service needs to keep the their eye on the ball in terms of what public service is. We are stewards of the taxpayer, and it's very rewarding work if you don't care about the money. I think federal service is very rewarding because it gives you an opportunity to see how the values of our nation get applied in ways to help all. And it gives you an opportunity to shape policies, to shape programs for the good of folks, and it gives you a very good sense of having an effect that affects a lot of people. But it isn't a job. It isn't a job for everyone, because it takes patience and time to go from an idea to an outcome. So my advice is, public service is a wonderful opportunity, and it requires hard work. team building. I believe the future of public service will be the need to make sure that people move in and out of government, get different kinds of experience, and bring that experience into the public service. I don't think there's going to be too many folks who are going to have almost 35 years of service in the federal government anymore. There's just not going to be that kind of thing. I think public service is going to be very much just like every other kind of service and every other kind of job. People move in and out of different things based on their skill sets and so forth. So I think the public service will benefit from bringing that eclectic mix of experience and talent and moving in and out rather than having long, long careers. So
That's a wonderful perspective. Thank you. Ellen, unfortunately, we have reached the end of our time. I want to thank you for fitting us into your busy schedule. But more importantly, Terry and I would like to thank you for your dedicated service to our country, but more importantly, the service you've provided our military personnel and their families.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. I do plan to retire within the next several months, and so I appreciate the opportunity to take this kind of a perspective. I do want to say, for those of you that are interested in more about what health affairs and the military health system is engaged in, I refer you to our website, health.mil. Very helpful, very informational. Anyway, I just want to thank you for this opportunity and thank all the people on my staff that continues to do a great thing every single day.
Great. Thank you. This has been the Business of Government Hour, featuring a conversation with Ellen Embry, Acting Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs at the U.S. Department of Defense. My co-host has been Terry Ergens, IBM's Military Health Practice Leader. As you enjoy the rest of your day, please take time to remember the men and women of our armed and civil services abroad who may not be able to hear this morning's show on how we're improving their government, but who deserve our unconditional respect and support. For the Business of Government Hour, I'm Albert Morales. Thank you for listening.
This has been the Business of Government Hour. Be sure to join us every Saturday at 9 a.m. and visit us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. There you can learn more about our programs and get a transcript of today's conversation. Until next week, it's businessofgovernment.org.